Hello, and welcome to Stories of the Journey Home. Storytelling for the spiritual journey. This is Leo Sofa. So once upon a time, there was a weaver. And this weaver was very, very good at what he did. He was a very talented artist. And whenever he wove carpets, he put all of himself into them. And tried to make them as creative and intricate and intriguing as he possibly could. However, one time he was out walking and something happened to him which would upend his entire career. He was out walking on the cliffs and there ahead of him, 30 foot high, hanging in the air, he saw an angel. A great angel. And she seemed to be looking down on him and smiling and seeming to offer him something. Well, that was all rather extraordinary. And the weaver, he just stands there and he just stares up. And his eyes are especially caught by the weaving of the feathers of the angel's wings, by the designs, by the intricacies. And he's never seen anything like those feathers on the angel's wings. Each one of those feathers has more intricacy and beauty of design than anything he's ever managed to put into his carpets. And after a while, this vision fades. And he goes home in a daze and just sits in his workshop and he just stares around him at all the carpets that he's made. And it becomes quite clear to him that nothing that he's ever made can possibly come close to what he's just seen. And this has a rather debilitating effect on him. It's like he can't quite engage with his work anymore. He can't quite find his work anymore. It's almost like it's just been blown off the workshop bench by the vision of perfection that he's just been given. And anyway, what was the angel trying to give him? It seemed like she was offering him something, but he had no idea what it was. All he knew now was that he just couldn't work. He just couldn't work. It was like his fingers didn't have creativity in them anymore. He couldn't bring himself to create anything. So what was he to do? Well, he sat in his workshop and his carpets, they slowly were sold off to his eager customers, but there were none replacing them. And he watched his stock going down and down, and this fear started rising up in him. He started thinking, I've got to find a way of working again. I've just got to. So somehow or other, he managed to kind of get himself going. He managed to force himself into action, but it wasn't really convincing. He managed to turn out one or two carpets, and it felt as if something was happening, but it probably wouldn't save him. Still, he was anxious. And one day, to calm his nerves, he went for a long walk. Out of the town where he lived, way, way out into the countryside, into a forest that he'd never seen before. But then it started happening again. He could feel it. He was familiar with it by now. are shimmering in the air. A sense of something infinitely precious coming close. And there, in a glade that was quite magical, amongst trickling waterfalls, moss glowing in the sunshine, there he saw her, the angel, again seemingly proffering him something with her hands. And all he could do was just stand there dumb, not knowing what he was receiving. And again, simply engrossed in the beauty that he was beholding. Well, that pretty much did it, you know? That pretty much did it. There wasn't anything left after that. He just couldn't trust in himself to create. He'd lost his confidence in his own connection to beauty, because what he'd seen had just wiped the slate for him. Just wiped the slate clean of any sense that he could do anything worth looking at after what he'd seen. So now he really just doesn't work. He doesn't know how to do it. And his carpets, they keep disappearing out of his workshop. And with it, the hope that he's going to have anything to eat in a few weeks. Because his stock's running down and down and down until he's really getting quite desperate. He just has to do something. He has to work. If he doesn't work, he won't eat. And so he tries again, but it's kind of hopeless, and yet he must. And so he turns out some carpets that are really quite half-hearted. But the longer he gets from the vision, why, the more it seems he can do some work. So now when he has to go out, why, he avoids the cliff tops and he avoids the forest. He even avoids the edge of town, just in case he might glimpse something out there in the countryside. Nope, he stays right in the middle of the town, the ugly, dirty parts of the town where surely no angel would dare to tread. And he just stays there, hoping that he doesn't see any more visions, any more work-destroying visions. Well, this seems to work for him. But he's losing sleep because he can't work fast enough. His flow is nothing like, it's just a trickle. Until one night, he's in his bed and he wakes up. And there she is, sitting in a chair just next to his bed. And he screams at the top of his voice, "Go away! Are you trying to destroy me? Are you trying to kill me?" And she looks at him and she's all peaceful and calm, and it's like no one shouting at her is going to get her ruffled. Her feathers will not be ruffled by this sort of thing. She says, "No, I am not trying to kill you. I've come here with a great gift for you." "No," he says, "I don't want your gift. If I can't work, then I can't eat. Why won't you just leave me alone?" She's all calmness, and she stares at him, and she says, "I have something for you that will make all of this inconvenience seem as nothing. I've brought you an amazing piece of news." "Yes," he says, "all that you have done before, all your work, is as nothing now. For now, you are going to create carpets the like of which the world has never seen. You will, and I can teach you how to do it." He just stared at her dumbly. "But on one condition," she continued. "Yes," he says, "only work for the king." "The king?" said the weaver, But the king's palace is hundreds of miles from here, and the king has the best weavers in the whole kingdom working for him. How am I supposed to compete with that? I'm just a provincial weaver. I'm good, but I'm not that good. You'll be better than any weaver in the kingdom if you come with me. Shouldn't I? She said, you don't need to bring anything with you. Just promise me, only work for the king. All right, he says. All right, I promise. But the truth is, he doesn't really believe how this could happen. He doesn't really believe how he could end up working for the king. It sounds impossibly far-fetched. Right then, says the angel, let's go. And so out of the workshop they run. Where are we going? Says the weaver. Follow me, says the angel, as they run through the night. Where are we going? He says again. She doesn't reply. They just run all the way out of the city, and then they walk all the way through the countryside, and whenever he says, where are we going? She simply stays silent until, at last, they come to a great big hole in the ground with stairs leading down. And down they go, further and further down, until they come to a great cavern. A great cavern, the walls of which are lined with flaming torches. And inside that cavern are 100 weavers, each one more skilled than the last. And even the least of those weavers is hard at work on a carpet that is far surpassing anything he's ever made in his life. And the very best of those weavers, why, they're working on things that are so good, he can hardly look at them. He can hardly look at them. That's how good they are. Right then, says the angel, stay here, learn from the least of them, and when you've learned everything you can from them, move up to the next and the next, until you've learned everything from the very best of the weavers here. I'll be back in a month. A month, he says, are you crazy? I need about 10 years. All right then, she says, I'll be back in 10 years. No, wait, try me in a month, see how far I've gotten. And off she goes. And he just stares at that gathering of extraordinary weavers. Are you new? Says the very least of them. He says, yes. Come on, see if I can teach you something. And so he sits down and soon he's learning. And the amazing thing is that, why, he can learn somehow extra fast in the charged atmosphere of that cavern. It's like he can learn extra fast, like his fingers somehow start taking on a life of their own. And each new weaver that he learns from, why, he seems to learn faster and faster. Until after an extraordinarily short time, he's found his way all the way to the very best of them and has learned everything they have to teach him. And it's right in that moment that the angel reappears. And when she sees what he's done, and she sees the carpet that he's just created, why, she says, excellent, you're ready now. Let's go and see the king. And he doesn't know what to say, because it's been one miracle after another since he got there, since he took off with her, to be honest. One miracle after another. And so off they set to the king's palace. It takes many weeks, even months, to get there. But soon they're standing outside the king's palace, and he's showing the guards the carpets that he's brought with him. And the guards, they take one look at what he's made, and they immediately can see the extraordinary value, the extraordinary quality of what he's brought. And they rush back inside and they tell the chamberlain, and before long he is ushered into the palace. And before long he's standing before the king himself. Well, it just so happens that the weaver of that place, the king's own weaver, had just died. Not long before, had just died. And the king was distraught and was just about to set out looking for a new weaver to replace him. And of course, when he sees the quality of the weaver's work, why, he immediately appoints him in the old weaver's place. Soon he has a workshop filled with thread, the most fine and beautiful thread you can possibly imagine, in such quantities that he could weave for years and never run out. He has a workshop all to himself, right in the far corner of the palace grounds, and there he just sets to work. He sets to work happily, fulfilling his commitment to the angel. Soon the carpets he's producing are everywhere in the palace, and such fine pieces that, why, although the previous weaver had been good, these carpets are sublime. They transform the palace from something grand into something divine. Everyone comments on it. Everyone can see it. The king himself is thrilled with his new weaver. But nothing lasts forever. And soon comes word that a great army has invaded from the west. The king must muster an army and go repel the invaders. And this takes such a heavy toll that when the king returns, his army quite battered down, his political power at a low ebb. Is then that all his political enemies sense an opportunity. And rising up all at once, they seek to wrest power from the king. Why, then a real battle royale ensues of factions and fighting, and different factions of the army fighting one another, and political enemies swarming in from all sides of the kingdom. And the king must use all his political nous. He must use all his skill at mustering support, all his mental strength at staving off defeat. That by the end of it, when he's finally secured victory, why, the whole kingdom seems to be on its knees. And then the great pestilence begins. A plague sweeps in from who knows where and lays low so many in the population that now the king has a health crisis on his hands and must rally all the support he can get from the doctors and the medical community and the nurses, and soon everyone is engaged in defeating this new terror. And when this is done, why, the king is a shadow of his former self. When this is done, the king is a shadow of his former self. He crawls back to his throne. He sits down. And as he looks around him, all the wonderful carpets that are on the floors and around the walls, he realizes he cannot even appreciate their beauty. And this greatly alarms him. Because he knows that if he can no longer appreciate beauty, then he can no longer count on being able to live. He can no longer appreciate life itself. So he calls the weaver and he asks the weaver, "I need you to save my life." "Your life, Your Majesty, what do you mean?" "I want you to make a carpet," says the king. "A carpet finer than any other carpet you've ever made. A carpet whose beauty even I can be touched by. a carpet that will bring me back to life, that will bring me back to my kingdom. Go, make it now. And in that moment, fear and doubt grip the weaver. It seems too great a task. What if he can't do it? What if he's unable? He starts to argue with the king, to push back his request, until the king is even more exhausted than he was before, and with the last of his strengths says simply, "Go, go, if you value my life, go and do this one thing for me." And the weaver goes back to his workshop, and he stares around at his threads and his looms. And then something comes over him. His fingers seem to have a life of their own, and they work and work with an inspiration that is surpassing any other that has previously flowed through him. He works and he works, and the weaving becomes sublime, like it's hovering just above the carpet that he's making, as if he himself is almost doing nothing with his fingers, the carpet seemingly weaving itself. When this carpet is finished, it is so extraordinary that bringing it back to the king, he indeed actually feels that this will save his life. This will bring the king back to life and thereby save the entire kingdom. He lays it at the king's feet in the throne room, looks up at the king, and then he sees that the king is slumped forward. His eyes are closed, his mouth is open. He has just breathed his last breath. And no amount of shaking or slapping will wake him up. The king has just died. And it's then that the weaver thinks of the way he argued and fought with the king, of the way fear and doubt clouded his mind and had him pushing back the king's request. Precious moments wasted, precious breaths taken in arguing that now meant that, fine as his carpet was, it could not save a dead king from death. And it's then that something comes over the weaver, a determination. And he swears to himself that never again will fear and doubt get a hold of him. Never again will fear and doubt stop him from fulfilling his purpose. That moment forth, that is exactly how it is. If a fear thought arises in his mind, why, he chases it away like a tiger. If a moment of doubt arises, why, he takes his sword and chops it to pieces before it can grow strong. Yes, from that moment forth, fear and doubt have no hold on him. And from that moment forth, he fulfills his obligations to the angel. Now he will only work for the king. And so while more war rages in the kingdom as a battle of succession takes place, why, the weaver, he just retreats to his little workshop, and he plants a little garden to feed himself, and he keeps on working. And all the while the kingdom descends into chaos, why, he does not let any of it bother him. If fear and doubt have no traction on such a man, do you imagine that war and chaos can touch him? No. He keeps on working, and each carpet is more sublime than the next. Until when the war is over and a new king has taken the throne a good man, a nephew of the previous king. Why, he walks around the palace and he surveys his shattered kingdom and he says, you know what I need? I need something to bring my people back together again. I need something that will bring all the different threads of my kingdom together. And as he walks around, he comes finally to the throne room. And there, by some miracle, there is the carpet that our friend the weaver laid at the feet of the king just as he died. It's still there. And the new king, he says, who made this carpet? It's extraordinary. No one has a clue. Everyone working there is completely brand new. The last lot of people all fled and then were replaced by another lot who also fled as the war ebbed back and forth. So the word goes out, wanting to find who the weaver was. But no one can find weavers anywhere. They've all left the city, and even when scouts are sent out to the furthest reaches of the kingdom, they come back reporting that all the weavers have fled. But one day, the king, he's walking in the palace grounds, where right at the very furthest edge, behind all the workshops, he finds one with a little garden growing outside. And inside, there is the weaver, with a angelic workshop of carpets all around. Well, as soon as the king sees the carpets that the weaver has been creating, he knows he's found what he'd been looking for. And he takes the weaver and all of his carpets with him, and they go in a great train, a great procession through the kingdom. Some areas are still smouldering in the aftermath of wars. Other areas are picking themselves up, but great rivalries exist. In other places, warlords have taken temporary charge and the king must negotiate with them. And everywhere he goes, he brings the warring parties together. And he lays one of the fine carpets down on the ground and asks them to step onto it. And the extraordinary thing is that standing upon one of those carpets, you cannot look at your enemy without seeing him as your brother. Even the bitterest of enemies, they cannot keep up their animosity when standing on that carpet together. And in this way, why, the kingdom was woven back together. In this way, the kingdom was woven back together by the weaver and the king, by the weaver and the king.